Welcome to the Ashley and JessicaCast. I started this podcast because of my love for Jessica and Ashley Simpson, but due to the support of my amazing listeners, I have been able to expand to other topics as well to feed my pop culture obsession and yours. Join me as we time travel through some of the most interesting figures in music, movies, TV, and beyond. I'm your host, Leah Russo. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Ashley and JessicaCast. I'm your host, Leah Russo, and today we have a bit of a random episode. This is a Patreon unlock episode, which means when I originally created this episode, it was made for my Patreon subscribers only. And I've seen other podcasters do this where if they're taking a break or they are on vacation, they'll post an old Patreon episode that's still relevant and still really great while they take a little break. Now, unfortunately, I am not doing either of those things. I'm working very, very hard on the finale of the JC Shazay series because it's been epic and I really want to end it the right way. Plus, I'm working on a million other things for you guys. But I did this episode with Tori from the podcast Ready to Be Petty about a year ago for my Patreon when I was finishing up my Lindsay Lohan series. And if you've listened to my Lindsay series, you know that series is so long and there was a lot of stuff that I wanted to talk about in it that I just couldn't fit in. And one of the things was the reality show that her family did in 2008 called Living Lohan. Now, Lindsay wasn't a part of the series, which is why I ultimately cut it from my Lindsay episodes, but I thought there was a little bit more to look at and discuss with that, and I didn't want it to just go by without having an episode on it. So Tori is such a brilliant pop culture commentator. If you haven't listened to her podcast, be sure to do that. And I just knew that it would be a really fun conversation, and I thought it'd be great to release an episode that's a little bit shorter than my usual ones. I mean, it's still an hour, but you guys know me. I'm like 2.5 hours over here. So yeah, this one is just a little bit more fun, lighthearted, but we do discuss some of the more serious implications of putting children on reality shows and letting reality TV cameras into your home, what was going on with Lindsay at the time. I think it's a pretty interesting episode, so I hope you guys enjoy it. You can join my Patreon at patreon.com/AshleyandJessicaCast. It's $5 or $10 a month. You can cancel anytime online. And what I post on there is, where do I begin? I do videos on there. I don't post video content anywhere else really, except for obviously short ones on TikTok, but these are like long form, like hour long videos that I do on there. I do reactions, pop culture commentary, etc. Then I have bonus episodes, which are on any pop culture topic that either gets requested by my patrons or I just feel like doing. So the one that's coming out, hopefully this weekend if I can get it done, is on Jonathan Taylor Thomas, obviously one of the biggest 90s icons. I just did a 2-episode series on Tara Reid, and she ended up sharing my Patreon link on her Instagram, which was literally got me in the heart. I was like, thank you so much, Tara. I had a really good one recently where I did Backstreet Boys versus NSYNC, the whole rivalry and the truth behind it. I just did a 2-hour episode reacting to the Grammys, not just everything with Taylor, but the whole Grammys. It was such an amazing Grammys this year, and I never say that about the Grammys, you guys. I am not a fan of the Grammys usually, but this year I clapped, I cheered, I was on my feet. I mean, it was a really, really good Grammys. There's a Playboy series on my Patreon, which is the girlfriends that made Playboy, because I just feel like it's ridiculous that Hugh Hefner gets all the credit for that entire empire when really there's no possible way he could have done it himself. It was the women that made him who he was and made him rich and made Playboy an iconic brand. So I do in-depth episodes on those women to give them a moment and put spotlight on them. So far I've done an episode on Holly, Bridget, and Kendra. I did Crystal Hefner, who just came out with her book. I did Brandi Roderick, who was a really major figure of Playboy in the late 90s, early 2000s. There's a ton of Jessica and Ashley content on there. So if you're missing Simpson Sisters content from the main feed, definitely join. I think that if you join now, you get access to like at least 75 to 80 bonus episodes between videos and podcasts. So it's definitely worth it if I do say so myself. I'm really proud of what I've built on Patreon, and I would love for the community to get bigger. And it's not even about the money literally at all. There's actually a $1 tier where you don't get anything extra, but you're just part of our community. And it's just like a dollar a month just to say, hey, thanks for making this podcast. I love those subscribers just as much. I love chatting with all of you guys. It's just a smaller, intimate fan community where it's like, I love all my listeners, but the Patreon subscribers are just my people. They really get me. And then also all the public episodes that you see on the main feed, I release them on Patreon at least a week early. Sometimes it's more because I get really busy and then I can't post them on the public feed because I want to edit them down more and whatever. So yeah, you get the new episodes super early on Patreon, and you also get them completely ad-free. Everything is ad-free on there, obviously. And you get them in an extended cut. So the ones that I put on Patreon are like, they have extra content because when I'm recording, I record so much stuff. Like, I'm the type of person that even though editing is hell, and I don't know why I do this to myself, I record like 3 hours, 4 hours of content for every episode that I do. And then I cut it down and I leave some of the stuff that I'm cutting out for the public episode for the Patreon subscribers, because I feel like if you subscribe on Patreon, obviously you really appreciate what I do. You like the sound of my voice. You like the people that I cover. You don't mind additional facts or stories or articles about that person that are definitely not 100% imperative to telling the story of the episode, but are just some extra tidbits or funny things. Sometimes I make jokes on there that I don't include on the public feed because I'm like, you know, anything that goes public, it's like you just never know if the wrong person's gonna find it and judge you for being weird or whatever, you know. But on Patreon, I'm just like, I can be weird. I can leave all the stuff in that's fun and maybe doesn't contribute to the ultimate point of the episode, but it's still entertaining to hear. So that's my Patreon. If you guys want to subscribe, that would mean the world to me. I am working hard to make it even better. I just love that there's this archive of my work online that at any time somebody can just pay like $5 or $10. It's affordable. And it's so many, like hundreds of hours of entertainment. So I don't think I have anything else to say. I'm actually thinking of doing another Lindsay episode after Irish Wish comes out, because it would be fun if my Lindsay series, even though it's done, it's complete. I completed it last year. I think it would be fun if I, every once in a while over the years, if I end up having this podcast forever, which is currently the plan. I mean, I love it and I love all you guys. So I don't know why I'd want to stop talking to you guys about pop culture. I mean, maybe someday it would be like, I can't do it as consistently, but I would totally be one of those people that goes away for a few months, posts an episode, goes away for a month, posts an episode. But as of now, the plan is just to keep rolling along with consistent episodes. So I thought it would be fun to add to my series over time, you know, like I'm about to finish the JC one, but maybe in a year, once he has his musicals that he's been working on come out, or NSYNC tours or something like that, I'll do another installment and we can just keep adding to the series over time. So I think I'm going to do that with Lindsay. I think I'm going to do a part 18, because I think the Lindsay series was 17 parts. Girl, I really did too much. But it's okay. Lindsay deserved her moment in the spotlight. She deserved her story to be told fairly from somebody that admires her and is not going to pick on every little thing, but also is able to criticize her when it applies. You know, I tried to make it really fair and even. So if you are subscribing to my Patreon too, when you subscribe, if you want to just write me a message and tell me who you would want to hear a one-off episode on, because like I said, right now I'm doing one about Jonathan Taylor Thomas. So I want to keep doing that for other icons of the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. So let me know what other celebrities you would want like a one-off episode on, not a whole series. Sometimes I start a one-off episode and I start researching the person and I realize, oh my God, there's so much more here. I have to do a series, at least like a mini series or something. So in the future, I really want my series to not be as long. So like the Lindsay series lasted a year, JC's lasting almost a year. I don't want to do that. I want to do like 5-episode series and actually get them out every week and then move on to something else and do one-offs here and there. I still want to finish Newlyweds and the Ashley Simpson show. I'm also re-recording some of my early episodes from the beginning of the podcast. So those are going up soon. There's just so much going on this podcast. So if you need someone to hang out with virtually, that's me. There's just so much content out there, even just on the public feed. So I'm really proud of what I've been able to do with the support of you guys. So I just want to say thank you by unlocking this Patreon episode. If you want to watch Living Lohan before or after you listen to this, it is on YouTube. At least most of it is. I think the last couple episodes are not. So I'm sorry, you'll have to be on the edge of your seat for the conclusion. But Living Lohan is both a really interesting reality show and also the dumbest at the same time. It's a roller coaster. Those Lohans just, they're the gift that keeps on giving. And I feel comfortable watching this reality show and laughing a little bit at it because all the Lohans seem to be doing really well now. All 4 children, Dina, Michael, I don't know, but I know that he sees Lindsay because they've both posted about it. So that's nice. And I'm just really so, so, so happy in my heart that this family ended up okay with everything that went on in the past. So that was my very long intro. I will stop rambling now. Let's get into our review of Living Lohan.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows 2 women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, patrons. Oh my goodness. Today we have such a treat for you because we are going to talk about one of the craziest, dumbest, most ridiculous reality shows ever. It is none other than Living Lohan, which we all know that Lindsay stayed so, so far away from for good reason. And I have an awesome guest on today. It is not her first time on my podcast, and I have also been on hers. Everybody, please welcome Tori.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Of course. I knew that you would have a lot of thoughts about Miss Dina and Miss Allie and the whole family.
It was so much fun revisiting this show. I forgot how much I enjoyed it the first time.
Yeah, it's a lot. So before we get started, though, do you just want to tell my subscribers about your podcast and your Patreon and what they can expect from that?
Yeah, for sure. So I host Ready to Be Petty, which is a pop culture podcast. I release episodes every Sunday and then on the Patreon every Thursday. And we're talking about pop culture, celebrity gossip, and entertainment news. And I had Leah on a few weeks ago now, and we were talking about reality TV stars and actresses who tried becoming pop stars and it didn't work out.
Yeah, keyword tried.
Very much tried, gave it the old college try. And we were talking about how Lindsay Lohan and Hilary Duff really, you know, like succeeded. And I think that maybe brought us to Living Lohan. I like literally can't even remember. But yeah, so I talk a lot about current pop culture and just kind of anything that is in the zeitgeist that people would want to chat about.
Yes, and it's a great podcast. And you work so hard. Like, you are always – oh, I feel like you're always putting out something. It's just, like,
thank you.
Amazing production that you have going on over there.
Thank you. I feel like I'm always hustling hard.
You are. It's impressive. Yeah.
Which
this
is
stuff
like
is hard.
It's sometimes to my detriment. Like I wasn't feeling well this week and I had a really busy work week. And so sometimes those things like, you know, collide right. with podcasting, but I have so much fun every episode I record. Even if it's like, I feel like it's not my best or whatever, like I'm still learning something or just like having a good chit chat or walking down memory lane. And yeah, so I'm always, you know, trying to make good content.
And you do. It's awesome.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
So as I said, today we're talking about Living Lohan, and this has a whopping 9% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
And a 2.1 out of 10 rating on IMDb. Mm-hmm. And the thing with this show that people went into it already hating it without even seeing it, because at this point, it came out in 2008. Lindsay already had gotten into a significant amount of trouble, and she still was continuing to get into trouble. And I think people just felt, why are you doing a reality show? Your focus should be on your daughter and your three other kids, and not in the way that it's shown in the show, meaning your focus should be on giving them normal lives. And here you are making it worse by putting a microscope even deeper into your life. So how do you feel about that? Do you agree with that? Do you feel differently?
Yeah. So, okay. And I might have drank the Kool-Aid too much because I know the problems that the Lohan family like has faced with Dina and Michael and stuff like that. But when I watched these episodes, a lot of it I was like, okay, a lot of you like have good family values and you like seem like a good, like, I don't know, if they weren't striving for fame, like I feel like they, I don't know, exhibited stuff that I actually like really liked. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll get into when we actually talk about the episodes. But I do definitely agree that like obviously the mumager thing, we've seen it play out time and time again of like just putting this undue pressure on your kids. And it brings up a lot of conversations about like consent and putting your kids' lives out there when they don't know like the full repercussions. And you're right that like Lindsay at this time in 2008, like she had wrapped, you know, kind of all of her biggest hits by this point.
Right.
Mean Girls and, you know, Georgia Rule and Herbie, like fully, like all of those like kind of huge movies and like music had like already come out. So I also get that maybe focusing more on like getting Lindsay like healthy and happy would have been more of a like good choice for Dina and the rest of the family.
Yeah, I mean, Lindsay had been to jail, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the thought was, because this show is obviously trying to make Allie into this big star. And mm-hmm. I think the thought is like, well, look what stardom did to your first daughter.
I know. And you're like, okay, do it
time
again.
To do the album.
I know. It's so bad. Especially because you're right. Like they knew all about this. Like they, like when Dina is prepping Allie for like an Entertainment Weekly or like Entertainment News interview, like one of the questions she asks were like, do you think the liquid in Lindsay's water bottle is like basically inferring that it's alcohol and not water? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you're literally passing this down to your 14-year-old kid. Like it's so bizarre. But then I don't know. It's tough because I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm giving them too much of like a benefit of the doubt, but I'm like, if your kid does want to pursue music, like what are you supposed to do? Like, do you say absolutely not, like you're going to be a normal kid, or do you, you know, use your resources to help them? Like, I don't know what I would do in this situation.
I don't think that Dina needed to say, sorry, you're not doing it. But I think that there was a way to kind of get her into it a little bit without having it be such a high pressure situation of mm-hmm. we're working with the Maloofs Vegas.
Yeah.
And yeah. It could have been, okay, Allie, you know, why don't you, it's the summer, why don't you do a little part in a movie or something that will take you out of school? Just something to get her feet wet. And then, you know, she has Lindsay in her life, even though Lindsay lives in California at this point. Like, okay, yeah, you can go visit Lindsay and go do fun Hollywood things with her for the weekend, but then you have to come right back and get to school. I think there were ways that they could have satiated her desire to do music and acting and be like Lindsay without having it be, okay, we're making an album with this huge company, you know?
Yeah, totally. That's such a good point. And I'm also like super anti like cameras in the household, because it's like your household is supposed to be your like safe place as a kid, especially. So I think also you're right. She could have even done some of the singing stuff without the TV show even. Like there, I feel like there's so many different options that would have been better than what they showed. But in 2008, I'm not sure what they were thinking. But like when you had such a success story, I'm sure they're like dying for the second success story. So yeah, it's so interesting.
My favorite thing about this whole show is how they try to pretend that Allie's already famous.
I know. Oh my God. Like when they go rock climbing and she's like fake, like signing signatures on like scraps of paper. It was so funny.
Yes. Multiple times throughout the show, they have people ask for her autograph and you know it's set up. No, nobody knew who she was.
No, not at all. Or like when her like peers were teasing her and stuff, I was like, that was all fake. It was so bad.
It's just so funny because they also have, first of all, poor little Cody, the young kid who just wants to like play soccer.
I know.
He wants nothing to do with any of this. And then they ask him a question and he goes, when people ask me what it's like to have famous sisters, I just say, I don't know. I love them. They're my sisters. And I'm like, no one says, what is it like to have famous sisters? People say, what is it like to be Lindsay Lohan's brother?
I know. 100%. That's so true. And like Cody was so sweet for that. Like that's what I mean about like the family, like the pieces that I really liked. Like he, honest to God, just wanted to be a kid and like hang out with his sisters. And like they did, I don't know. I thought that they like got along. Like I felt like Cody was always playing basketball, but like Allie would join in and stuff. And I'm like, these are the like moments where you're like, okay, you are just like a normal family, but yeah, obviously they're not actually.
And don't feel bad about giving them the benefit of the doubt, because I love Dina and I always give her the benefit of the doubt and I always defend her. From all my research, which was immense, I really think that she is a good person and in her heart, and I don't think that she ever has any negative intentions. I truly think she's a good person. I just think that she's a little misguided, and I think that she is an addict, so she sometimes falls back into that, and that definitely drags her into a unstable place where she's not able to be the mother that she is when she's sober, I think. And so that's really unfortunate, but in general I always defend her. Like there are some things that she's done or said where I'm like, girl. But most of the time I defend her, and the reason is because today all of her kids seem to adore her. They always post about how much they absolutely love her, how wonderful she is. Lindsay talks about her like she hung the moon, and I'm like, okay, well, if all four of her kids still talk to her, not just still talk to her, but are still really close with her after everything that's gone on, she has to be doing something right, because they're adults now. They don't need her. They could have easily gotten out of contact with her.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, after I had finished watching the episodes, I looked up what all of the kids were doing and stuff like that, because obviously I just at this point follow Lindsay, and I was really surprised to see it seems like all four of them have really close relationships with – is it four or five?
Four
kids, yeah, have really close relationships with Dina still.
Yes, they do. So that's really nice. And I actually got emotional when Lindsay was promoting Falling for Christmas, and there was like a picture of all of them on the red carpet, and they just all look so good and so healthy and happy. And I'm just so happy for them, because there's so many things that went on that could have been the end of that family unit. And I could see everybody kind of splintering off and not getting involved with certain other members. So I'm just really happy they're still a family.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. And like I know she got into some trouble in the mid-2000s and I think early 2010s with like DUIs.
Dina's most recent DUI was actually in 2020.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know. So it's something she still is struggles with.
Okay, because I definitely remember she had one in like maybe like 2013 and then maybe one prior to that.
Yeah,
that's really sad. But I watched her on Celebrity Big Brother. I listened to a lot of like podcast coverage about that season too. And a lot of people who didn't know any of her backstory really enjoyed her. And I enjoyed her too, but I'm just like, I was obviously biased. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people that don't really follow pop culture really, really enjoyed her. And so that obviously like issues with alcohol, I think is hereditary. Like Lindsay struggled with that. Michael, the husband, has struggled with that. But that's really tough.
I know. It seems like she, you know, just always plugs along and moves on to the next thing, you know?
Totally.
And so what did you think of Jeremy, the producer that comes over?
Oh, my God. See, this was like the biggest red flag, other than her, her like pushing obviously a music career. But like, okay, so if people don't know, basically there's a music producer. He's like, seems like he's like in his mid 20s, but his name is Jeremy Green. And the Lohan family was introduced by him just DMing Dina on like, I don't even know, like AOL at this time or something, like something MSN, like something so random.
Yeah, she said IMing.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That is like, I'm like, this is such a throwback, because like, how would this like ever even happen nowadays? But he was a music producer and he made a bunch of like demos for Allie to listen to. But when Dina went out to like a few like dinners and stuff like that, she would just leave her kids with this seemingly random man. And I was like, this is so problematic. And then he went to the tabloids and was like, Lindsay Lohan, like, and I, like, I can't say if we're dating or not or whatever. And then Allie was so upset and then like immediately forgave him.
I thought that whole thing was bizarre.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we talked about how a lot of stuff on the show is staged. I did a lot of Googling and that was real. There were articles and you could still find them if you Google Lindsay Lohan, Jeremy Green. There's a lot of articles that say, you know, oh, Lindsay spotted out with this guy. And I don't know if he actually did hang out with her, because they're insisting that, you know, Allie's like, you don't even know her and all that stuff. But it's the tabloids say that they were out together. Who knows if that really happened, but whether that happened or not, he did talk to them and say like, oh, you know, me and Lindsay are just friends and all of that. And then I thought Dina was going to like ban him from the house, because she was talking about how, you know, she's a lion and she has to protect her cubs and it's just ridiculous and all this stuff. And this is someone who is coming into her house and working with her child and just openly lied. And she's just like, look, you know, this isn't how we're going to do things. Like, you don't know how to play the game yet. And she keeps like giving excuses like, oh, well, he hasn't been famous. Like, he doesn't know how to play the game and everything. And I'm like, but like, you should know that you're not supposed to like lie about people. It's not really about being famous. It's like, he's obviously using
your name
to get his name out there and, you know, make him rumored that he's dating Lindsay. And, oh, he's a music producer, so maybe that would get his tracks out there and stuff. And the craziest part to me is that when he comes over, Allie just grabs him and like drags him up to her bedroom.
I know. And like shuts the door and they're like sitting on her bed and stuff like that. And I know. And I'm like, obviously we don't know if anything like nefarious happened, but like, It's fucking weird. And then, like, also, you're giving, like, a 14-year-old songs that are, like, obviously they're not, like, they weren't, like, sexual or anything. But it's, like, talking about, like, being in love and, like, it's just so weird. Like, it's just not what a normal – I don't know. It's not normal in any situation.
No, it's not at all. And they just act like it's fine. Like, he's allowed to be in there alone with her and Dina's not even, like, checking in or anything like that. Like, they should be – if they're going to work on music, they should be downstairs, like, by the stereo where it's, like, open. And I don't know. Especially if he's lying about Lindsay, that means he's already showing, like, shady behavior. So I'm not saying he's going to, like, you know, jump on top of Allie and, you know, assault her or something. But just you don't know what he could be saying or – you know what I mean?
100%. And you're right. There's so many articles about him. He was 25 at the time. And – like, he's talking to every freaking news outlet about hanging out with the Lohans and hanging out with Lindsay and, like, talking about the attention and stuff. Like, it's so wild. But I don't think he made it in the music industry.
No, because if you Google him, it's all just about Lindsay.
Yeah, it's all from 2008 still.
So I also think it's like – so crazy when Dina and him have this conversation at the kitchen table and he's like, no, like, you don't understand, I had no bad intentions, but I did say that. It's like, well, then what were your intentions of lying? Like, you know what I mean?
It wasn't misconstrued. That was the other thing. It wasn't like something, oh, that could be misconstrued. He was literally asked, are you dating Lindsay? And he was like, I cannot, like, confirm or deny. Like,
yeah, you can. Like,
it's like, yeah, you can. Like, that's the thing. And, like, I was just so surprised. Like, when they read this, I was like, okay, they're rightfully angry. And then there was, like, no time before they're just, like, forgave him.
Yeah, it was fine. And then Dina says, she goes, well, you know, we're using you too. I want your tracks. So it goes both ways.
Yeah, which I do like, which is wild, but I definitely do think that is the business. Mm-hmm. At some point or on some level, both parties know that they're using each other. Like, for example, at this point in the show, is it the Maloofs? Who is Maloof. It?
Yeah, it's George Maloof who owns the Palms.
Right, the Maloof family, all of their production team had sent Allie demos that she didn't like. So he was the only one that had, like, you know, more like hip-hop based songs. And so, and again, we don't know the ins and outs of the show or what was happening in real life, but like they didn't have any other options. So I think they're like, hey, we'll lose this music if we actually, like, you know, don't forgive him for this.
Yeah, and they should have been able to get better music. Like, that song is not it.
No, I know. That was another thing that was, like, super surprising. Well, okay, I think one thing that I was, like, surprised at is, like, I actually think Ali Lohan has a good voice, which I was surprised at. And I was like, okay, if she had more vocal training and better music, I actually think she could have had – like, again, not like a Beyonce music career, but like a Hillary Duff or a Lindsay Lohan music career. And then the second thing was, yeah, just at how bad the options were. And I was like, it's wild because you're right. Like, the Maloof family is a really big family, or that's how they are portrayed in the show. And then the Lohans, and maybe it was because Lindsay's star was kind of falling, but like, you would think they would just have a lot of options to work with, but they really didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think about the grandma? Because I love her. I wish she was in it more. Too.
Me too. That's like another thing that I enjoyed so much is like one time they were all sitting in the kitchen and they were talking about the grandpa that passed away, the Nana's husband. Yeah. And it was so cute because Cody had like a poem or like I don't know, like something from his funeral or something like that, like the program or something like that, taped in his soccer like shin guard. And they were talking about it and she starts to tear up and he like walks over, hugs her and then kisses her on the head. And I'm like those types of like that type of affection and stuff. I'm like, that's why I do like this family. And like, I do think some of their values are really good. Cause I think like that was such a beautiful moment. No one said like, oh, go like kiss your grandma or like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know, like it was just really empathetic and like sweet. And I don't think I have two sisters, so I didn't grow up with boys or anything, but like, I don't know any boys that would have like at his age done that. So, it was really, really sweet.
It was so sweet. You can tell they all really love each other. And
yeah.
I do wish there was more of that on the show. Like, I wish this wasn't supposed to be a star vehicle for Allie and it was more just like, hey, we just want to show you who we are and we're not just like this tabloid family and we're actually a real family and we're just trying to deal with this fame and everything that's been a constant since Lindsay was like 10, you know?
Totally, totally.
And I felt bad for her because the grandma, like, she doesn't want to go to Vegas and they keep trying to force her to go. And I'm like, the woman's like 90. Like, she doesn't want to go to Vegas.
I know. I know. That annoyed me so much because my grandma's probably like maybe 86 or 87. Actually, no, I know she turned 85. Her birthday's coming up. She'll be turning 86. So she's 86 and like, she doesn't like to fly. Like, it's not. I get, like, for some reasons it's like, hey, maybe you're depressed and you just want to, like, stay at home and, like, isolate. But, like, people of that age, like, they don't want to travel that far. Like, they want to stay in their communities. They want to stay close to home. Like, they're worried and you know, sometimes, like, their mobility is limited or they're tired or they just, like, you know, don't want to, like, slow people down or whatever. So I was like, get off her back.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing that I felt so bad about is when they have Michael Jr., like, I guess Zoom didn't exist. So I guess he was Skyping with Dina.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the bullies. And I never even thought about this, but he says to then he comes there in person and he says to Allie, like, you know, you only have to be away for like a couple months for this. Like when Lindsay did Parent Trap, I had to leave for 7 months.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, this poor kid is like just in school trying to be normal. And I'm not blaming Lindsay because Lindsay was a kid. I mean, and you know, I love Dina, but like what an effect this had on these other kids.
100%. And like, again, I looked up Michael Jr. Okay, spoiler alert. He's still with Nina.
Oh, is that his wife?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
And they have
great.
A kid together. And I was like, oh my God, that's so sweet because they had like a very cute relationship. They were college like sweethearts. But yeah, because again, he seems like to have a really normal life. He's like off at college and he is talking to Cody and Cody's like, I don't want to go to Vegas for 2 weeks. I'm going to miss my friends. And soccer and school and stuff like that. And then he's like,
oh, you're right. It's Cody because he doesn't want to leave soccer. Yeah.
Yes. And I was like, that's so fair. But I was curious. I was like, why don't they get like a caretaker so he can stay in school while she leaves for 2 weeks? Or like, again.
Where's Michael, the dad?
I'm probably in jail at this point.
Well, that's the thing is he was – I'm proud to say that I know about all of I know about all the reported Michael jail stays, and I don't think he was in jail at this time. So
that's
I don't know. Maybe
so
this
funny.
Was when he was in Florida. Like for a while, he was in Florida, and he joined this like religious cult and was like a born again Christian or something. So maybe that's what was happening. But I just think
this would have been filmed in like early 2008, like February.
Mm-hmm.
March or whatever, and then it came out in like May or June or something like that, so he wasn't in jail at this time.
Yeah, so I don't know, it's just really sad because they can't. I just think that the whole family shouldn't have to change everything because one kid wants to make an album.
Totally. And straight up, they don't mention Michael on this show. It is so wild how they straight up do not mention their dad. So obviously there was like turmoil at this point. But yeah, it is really sad because I was like, it's also really bad for kids to be pulled out of school for like 2 weeks and then they feel like they're like behind and like that they're not connected with their friends and like all of this and just like they kids like routine. And so I was thinking that at the time, like, you are obviously a well-off like family. Why don't you have some type of caregiver?
I know. I was thinking that too. Like, why does she have to drag him there? And I feel bad because he's straight up like, I'm not going. And you know he has to
go. I know. And like we did meet like Paul or like some one of Dina's brothers, but I was like, why? I don't know. I just was thinking like, and 2 weeks is nothing compared to 7.5 months, like Michael Jr. was saying. So I don't know, but I don't think it's great to pull kids out of school.
No. And at least like Allie, like that's her project. Like Cody is just like, I just have to be here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, poor kid.
That was rough. There's one scene earlier in the show when Dina's going out and she's in the car with her mother and some other people and she's like clearly drunk and she's insisting that she can not do anything about this. Like Allie just is determined. Yeah. And she's like, you guys know, I tell her to go to school, just, you know, stay in school, please. And she's like, no, I won't. I have to sing or whatever. And she's like, I can't stop her. And I'm like, you absolutely can stop her.
Right.
That's your job. You're the person. You're the one who can stop her.
Yeah. Like legally, you can actually. That's so funny. Yeah. Because she, after like the bullying incident, wants to be homeschooled. And she's like, no.
And that whole bullying episode was weird. Like, I don't deny that. I'm sure she was bullied because of Lindsay. Yes. This whole situation is crazy because, first of all, Allie's being so rude. Like, Allie's treating Dina like shit. And Dina didn't do anything.
I know.
And Dina's like, okay, I'm calling Tina Fey. We're doing Mean Girls 2.
That was really funny. That was really, really funny.
I'm like, Dina, get your mind away from the show business. Like, this has nothing to do with that. And you know how she acts? She acts as though that there's absolutely no way to get around her whole family being in show business. Like, she acts as though this is their birthright. They have to do this. So she might as well just make it work within the context of that. There's no thought of, maybe I should slow it down.
100%. And, like, again, though, I feel like Lindsay has such a star quality.
Yes.
And, like, I don't know. Maybe it's, like, when you meet someone that has like, you know, that quality, like an Adele or a Beyonce or something, like you feel like it's, I don't know, that this is the path for them. But I'm like, that's not Allie, no offense. No. But like, she just doesn't have what Lindsay has.
No, and that's not even dissing her, because Lindsay is like truly extremely special.
Totally. And this girl's just a normal girl. Like, she had like a normal, like a good singing voice. She was, I thought in certain aspects she was like pretty articulate and like funny and stuff like that. But like, she didn't have the like magnetic draw that Lindsay has.
Right. She's definitely not shy. And she has an attitude, but she doesn't have, like what you're saying, that charisma.
Totally, totally. And, Kay, you brought up a really good point that I just want to loop back to for 1 second, because it is a really good point. Like, why did they advertise the show and promote it as Living Lohan, like a inner look at the Lohan family? But then the main thing was Allie's, like, singing career. Like, it just seems like they tried to do two different things and it, like, didn't really work out. Whereas, like, maybe if they just did one, it would have been a little bit more cohesive and maybe, like, received better.
Yeah, I agree. I would have liked to see just a more real look at their family and their dynamics without it having to be so produced and revolving around this girl who, I don't know. It's also that it's funny because, like, Dina insists that Allie's insisting, but Allie seems like she's into it for sure, but she doesn't seem like she's like, this is my passion. I have to do this. Like, you know, she doesn't explain the things that you would expect to hear, like, you know, oh, I've been writing songs since I was a kid, or I always love singing. I would sing in choir, or I would sing in church. Like, she's just kind of like, oh yeah, my sister is Lindsay, so
yeah. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, it's just driven by, I think, yeah, like the notoriety and the, they seem just chasing, you know, something in Hollywood. But like, okay, then I'm like, then why didn't you move to LA and like fully go in? Like, they're still living in Long Island. Like, it's just, it's so weird. It's, and like, she's, Dina's managing Lindsay from Long Island. Like, I don't know. So it's like, they weren't all in, but they were like basically all in.
Yeah. So there's also, what I think is really funny is there's this moment toward the beginning, actually like in the first episode, where Lindsay supposedly has a sex tape. And this was true.
Yes.
This real drama. With Callum Best, who's her boyfriend, and Dina's like, oh no, Callum would not do this. So, and it did turn out to be fake, but Dina calls Lindsay and she's like, you know, the first thing I have to do is just call my child and see what she says about it. And they they show Dina on the phone being like, hey sweetie, it's mommy. And then they cut to her just going, okay, bye. And
yeah,
it's so funny that, like, I understand that Lindsay didn't want to be on camera, so they didn't want to get her voice, but they also could have just filmed Dina's side of the conversation, and even that is not allowed.
Okay, so I was gonna ask you this too, because I'm not up on the lore like you are. Why wasn't Lindsay a part of this program?
She just kept saying in interviews when she was asked about it, she would just say like, oh, that's their thing, and like, I don't want to get involved because they're doing that and I'm focusing on my sobriety and I'm doing the projects that I'm doing, and it's really more about like my sister and stuff like that. I think that Lindsay really didn't want to be a part of it at all because, like, it was a reality show and she didn't want to, like, stoop that low at the time, although she would, you know. But I think with Oprah and everything, that's different. That's, like, a very, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah, you don't say no to Oprah.
Right. And yeah. I think that Lindsay still had it in her mind that she was going to get back into these big movies.
Yeah.
And she could have too, like, it was still salvageable at that point.
Yes.
But I think that she was telling Dina and Allie like, well, I don't want to be on your show because I don't want the whole focus to be on me. Like, if I do it, everyone's going to talk about me. Like, I want it to be more about you guys and I want it to be your thing. Like, I don't want to overshadow. And I'm sure part of that was true, but like, of course Lindsay doesn't want to be on Living Lohan. But I just think that it would have been fine if she just, like, you know, was able to be on a phone call or something. Like, if she was in it for 2 minutes, or if she was just in the first episode just to get people to watch. But I think she was just like, hell no, I am not even touching that.
I know. Or, like, if she showed up in Vegas and, like,
right,
was at the recording studio one day or something like that. Like, I completely agree. Because, okay, so this was, like, three or four years post Mean Girls. So you're right. This was kind of like in the height of her, like, so the previous 3 years were like pretty tumultuous. Mm-hmm. So maybe she just we obviously saw that in the first episode. Dina was going through all of the tabloids and she was in like every single one of them.
Yeah. And Dina says, like, you know, I don't really obsess over the tabloids. And then they show her just like going through
every single one with like a magnifying glass. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I agree with you that, like, at this point in 2007, 2008, she's trying to being like, oh, I was in a really bad place, but I'm like getting better, going to rehab, like in a few like smaller movies, like the one that she was like a sex worker in.
I Know Who Killed Me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I guess she's just trying to, like, I guess, pivot at this point.
Yeah. And Lindsay at one point joked that she should do the show and she should do a reality show, because then maybe people will understand her better and will actually see what she's really like as opposed to what the tabloids say. And then Dina said, well, that's why I'm doing it, because I want people to really see us. And she actually said that she had no choice but to do a reality show.
Yeah.
Which is like, I love Dina, because it's just like classic Dina.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, you do have a choice, girl. But she was just saying that from the perspective of like, well, I don't have a choice because everybody talks so much shit that I might as well just let them in and just like kind of throw up my hands and be like, okay, well, here's my life. And it's actually not that dramatic or scandalous. I'm just a mom trying to raise my kids with this spotlight and everything. But it just never occurs to her that she can stay away from the spotlight. She can just kind of be the mom and the manager. She doesn't have to be Kris Jenner, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Which is interesting that she said that, because I feel like that's what the Kardashians, maybe not in their first season, but definitely in the later seasons, used the TV show to like show the good family value, like quote unquote family values of their household, which keeps them, I feel like, from like not being canceled, because you have a soft spot for fucking Scott and like stuff like that. And like, you see Kendall's anxiety and stuff like that. And I feel like this show did that too. But that's why I'm like, why wasn't Lindsay on it? Because I do feel like if she was in some of these family scenes, like, she would have bounced back a little quicker.
Yeah. And you do see on the Oprah show, Lindsay with Dina and with the grandma and like them all together. And it's just so sweet. And on Living Lohan, it comes off like, I know this isn't true because I know how close the family is and was at this time. It almost comes off as if they're like third cousins of Lindsay's that are just kind of claiming that they know her.
Like, actually, though, like in the first episode, they didn't actually say her name for like 5 minutes. They kept just being like, we have this famous sister, we have this famous sister, and stuff like that. It seems like at first they like couldn't say her name. Like, and I'm like, y'all are siblings, but we know that's not real, because like, we have social media and we can see that they're close and stuff like that. But I'm like, at the time, they definitely seemed like almost estranged.
Yeah, and they weren't, like, especially Allie and Lindsay. Like, when Lindsay was in New York, she would take Allie with her everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
They always were photographed together. They were really, really close. And you just would think that Allie would say, like, oh, I'm going to call Lindsay and ask her advice about this album, because Lindsay's done 2 albums, so maybe she can give me
literally
some tip.
Yes. And like, anything to just make it a little bit more realistic.
Yeah, it all seems very strange. And then there's this whole thing where there's an electrical fire in the house.
Oh my god.
And Dina doesn't even come home.
That was so bad. So she's like shocked, she calls Cody's like, yeah, there's a fire. The kids were getting, so like, Allie has asthma. She was getting like oxygen from an ambulance worker, a paramedic. Mm-hmm. Dina like had her phone on Do Not Disturb or whatever, but her bodyguard / driver was like, hey, your kids are calling, there's a fire. She calls Cody, and after like 30 seconds, she's like, okay, well, talk soon.
Yeah. And it's funny because what she's saying in the interview doesn't match what she does at all. Like, in the interview, she's like, when you hear something like that about your kids, you go into panic mode. And then they show her and she's not panicking at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, you panicked for 1 millisecond and then went back to your party. And I was like, also the party. Okay. It was an anniversary party for Boulevard magazine. And she was on the cover once in 2006. I was like, that's like not even a party worth like attending, like, seriously.
She actually gets Vogue too, by the way.
Literally, she's at, like, okay, maybe if it's Vogue, don't go back to her, like, your kids or whatever, but like, it's straight up Boulevard. I don't think that they've been in production for like the past 10 years. Like, it's obviously, she didn't know that at the time, but it's so embarrassing.
Yeah, and at the end of it, they're like, oh, it all ended up fine, you know. I don't know if it's Dina who says it or one of the kids, but Dina's like, oh, yeah, I didn't even have to leave my party early. And I'm like, girl, you should have been in the car, like, speeding back, because even though, you know, there were people there with them and everything, you just don't know what's going to happen. Like, your kids are scared. They need you. And the fire trucks are at your house.
Yeah. And then she gets back. All her kids are asleep. She, like, goes into their bedroom and, like, kisses them and stuff. And it's like, you're lucky your kids are, like,
safe
and sleeping. I also thought that this was really interesting, too. And I think it shows how kids of famous families have to be, like, very self-sufficient, because they were so – and, like, also I always think this, too. It's like, there's also a camera crew. So it's like, if anything did happen, like, there was adults there, but like, it was just Allie's and Cody's cousin. Like, she was probably like 14 or something, like, babysitting them. They did everything right. Like, they were like, okay, something's, like, obviously smelling like burning or gas or something like that. Like, we'll exit the house and we'll call 911. Like, they did everything. Like, they were, like, I thought, really calm and all of that. So they do seem like mature in that aspect and, like, responsible. I don't know if they had to become responsible because Dina and Michael were a bit MIA, but they handled that really well.
Yeah. And then we have this, continuing on with the bullying storyline, we have the fake paparazzi at the Impact thing that they go to.
Oh my God. That was so tragic. Like, that actually was, like, I think the cringiest part of the show, maybe. Like, they go to a, was it a school or a, like after school
Yeah. Yeah, like a community center or something, like an inner city one. They go to Manhattan for that.
Yes, they drive into, like, New York from Long Island, and they go to some type of school that, like, does dancing, singing, acting, like, all of this stuff. It seemed kind of like an after-school program or I don't know, some, like, community organization.
And the paparazzi's just waiting there.
Yeah, and they take pictures of them going in and leaving.
Yeah, and I don't even know if they were real paparazzi that they called just to do them a favor. Like, maybe Dina said, if you show up for this, I'll give you a picture of Lindsay or something. Or were they actors? Like, I don't know, but there's no way that they were just there. Dina didn't get followed by the paparazzi when she was by herself. Like, they would sometimes wait for her if Lindsay – something was going on crazy with Lindsay. They would wait for her, and then, you know, she would come out, and they would say, what's happening with Lindsay? But they wouldn't just photograph her like she's the celebrity.
No, not at all. Like, Allie would only get photographed if she was with Lindsay.
Yes, absolutely. It was just so funny how they had those set up autographs. Like, they do it multiple times with the autographs and the paparazzi and everything. And it's just so silly, because I actually think that Allie would have been more popular with fans if she was coming from a perspective of, you know, my sister's famous and I feel like I'm in the shadow, like Ashley and Jessica, you know, I don't get any attention. And my sister, everywhere we go, gets photographed and they just kind of push me out of the way in order to get pictures of her. And that would have been, like, more relatable. And instead, they just act like she's famous and they don't explain why she, like, you know, why she would be famous except for association, you know. And, like, I did know who she was at this time, but that's only because I was obsessed with Lindsay. I was a really big fan, obviously. And so I knew Dina, I knew Allie, I knew Michael. But your average person who just, like, has seen Mean Girls and thought it was good is not looking
online.
Has
no idea.
No, not at all.
Yeah. No, I know. It's like, I knew too, because I was reading the tabloids. I was obsessed with Lindsay. Allie, I think, is 1 year younger than me. So, like, I felt like we were, like, not peers, but, like, I loved, like, Selena Gomez is my age and stuff like that. I love, like, celebrities that were the same age as me. It just felt like, I don't know. I felt like not a connection to them, but, like, it just felt like, oh, this could be, like, me or whatever. But so it's like, I knew, but it's like, nobody else did. It's actually so embarrassing. And also, we've learned so much more about paparazzi in 2023 than we knew back in 2008. And so there's, like, celebrity spots that people, like, celebs will go to and paparazzi will hang around, like, 24/7. So it's like celebrities go and they know they're going to be photographed, like a Craig's or a Nobu or
right.
But that these random, like, alleyways to a theater program or whatever in New York, like, that's when you know someone's getting called. Like, that's – they didn't find you there. They didn't follow you and find you.
No.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
Yeah. If it was Lindsay – if Lindsay was there at all, I would believe it 100%. But because she was not, there's no way. They're not going to waste their time. There's other people that are actually real celebrities that are not just family of celebrities that are in New York that they need to get, you know?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So another moment that was real – well, that wasn't real, but a moment that actually was real that I thought was, like, kind of emotional and sad was when they had that friend over –
oh my God.
Lost her child to meningitis, which is insane. Did she write like a poem about her daughter that Allie was maybe going to use for a song?
Yeah. Okay. I can't remember if it was the child that passed away's poetry or the mom's poetry or something like that. But Allie was going to turn her poetry into lyrics. But obviously, that never ended up happening.
No.
But it's really interesting because I was like, they kept being like, okay, we need a song that is like believable for Allie and stuff like that. And I was like, why didn't they choose this song? Not to exploit the, you know, tragedy of it, but like, it was the only time that she showed like any like emotion in her singing and stuff. And I was like, this maybe could have got more traction, as ugly as that is to say, but more traction than All Around, All the Way Around, which is the single that they end up releasing in this TV show.
Right. Well, I actually think that this is probably the most authentic part of these first few episodes.
And right.
That they should have stuck with that. A lot of people were, at the time when this show came out, the reviews say that she's trying to be Ashley Simpson because obviously she's like the younger sister of this big star and she's making an album. And that obviously Ashley is like extremely talented, and I'm not saying Allie isn't, but like Ashley was a songwriter and Allie was just kind of like waiting for people to give her tracks.
Yeah.
And I think that it was beautiful that they had that connection where this person clearly meant a lot to them. Like, Dina's like on the verge of tears and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was similar to the way that with Ashley, we got to see like the story behind all the songs on her show. And she explained like that they were based on real things that happened to her. And we got to like know her boyfriend. And then at the end of the episode, he dumps her and then she sings Unreachable. And it's like, oh my God, like I feel that so much more because I know the story behind it. And if Allie and Dina really wanted this music career to take off and be taken seriously, they should have just copied that model. That should have been the first episode. If they really wanted this to be about her becoming a music star, it's like, okay, we have this friend. She's Allie's vocal coach. Her whole family means a lot to us. Her daughter passed away. It was devastating for everybody. And so we have this poetry and we want to work it into a song. Like, that would have been such a good episode.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think like, music that does well, like one type of music I think that does really well is stuff that is personal. Yeah, like we see that through some of Lindsay's music. Like you're saying, Confessions of a Broken Heart obviously comes to mind. And then you mentioned Ashley Simpson, like Shadow comes to mind. Like, yeah, I guess it's hard because that's way more emotional and like stuff like that. But I completely agree. It was like the first time we saw kind of humanity in her work. And I was like, that's the special thing. That's the magnetic thing. Like, that's the thing that people like relate to and stuff.
Right. Exactly. And that song that she ended up releasing, All the Way Around, that was written by Cara DioGuardi.
Yes, which, yes, I know the story of Cara DioGuardi because she was on American Idol as a judge, but she has literally written like any song that I've enjoyed in the last like 20 years.
Absolutely. She is just huge. So that is impressive. That's much more impressive than Jeremy. And
I know.
Why wasn't Cara on the show, or was she? Because I don't remember the end of the show.
Well, they ditch Jeremy and work with Iman or Iman, the person that we were introduced to at the Palms Hotel. Yeah. So I guess that was a win for us. But the song all the way around, like, again, it has Cara DioGuardi's like stamp on it. So I definitely remember having this downloaded on my iPod and like listening to it. But and I feel like if they followed it up with like a few more songs of this genre, she could have maybe done better, did better. But like, I'm pretty sure they released this single of hers and then she didn't release new music for like a really long time. And I think just like kind of fell off.
Yeah, she did. She's does music now, but
yeah.
A few years ago, actually, Lindsay claimed that she was Ali's manager.
Oh, interesting.
So that was at the end of like 2019.
And interesting.
It was weird because I don't know where Dina was. Maybe it's because she was busy with Big Brother or something. Mm-hmm. So Lindsay was just taking over for the meantime or whatever. But Ali actually lived with Lindsay for a long time in Dubai. And apparently they were both recording songs. They quarantined together over there. Mm. So they were also on a radio show together. They did like a really good interview, actually. And Lindsay kept trying to put the focus back on Ali. She's like, oh, my sister's the talented one. Like, she's doing this song and this song and this song and this song. And I think Lindsay really believes in her and it's very cute. So I do wish her the best, you know, because I feel like at this time, especially you could tell she's trying so hard to be like older, like the makeup, her makeup's heavier than Dina's.
Literally, and her bang is heavier than like anything.
Yeah, and it's just, she doesn't know who she is yet. And she's just 14 and she's on TV. I mean, can you imagine if like when you were 14, you had a reality show in your house? Like,
No, not at all. Yeah. Yeah, I would have been such a nightmare. So, yeah.
So, for anyone who might be confused as to why we're not getting more into like the end of the series, it used to all be online and now it's just like episodes 1 through 5. So, we couldn't do 6 through 9. So, maybe we'll do that in the future if I'm able to find it. If any of you guys have it and can send it to me, I know that Lindsay Stans have like an archive of stuff, but. Is there anything else that stood out to you or that you want to mention about this like first block of episodes?
I think just how much I enjoyed it, how much I loved like Cody and Michael Jr. and Nina.
And I love all of them. They're so cute.
They're so cute. And just I think the last thing I'll say, because I, again, really enjoyed it, even though we were like critical of it, I had a great time watching it, but like,
me too.
I think like, I'm just surprised it wasn't a success because it gave me Pretty Wild vibes. It gave me Keeping Up with the Kardashians vibes. Like it seemed to fit in with all of the shows that were out around this time. So it was on E. I'm just super surprised that it didn't do well.
Yeah. I think people were just, it was too much with the low hands. Like, I think people were just oversaturated that Lindsay right. was in the news constantly and people just saw it as, oh, this family is so desperate for fame and they didn't like that. But
right.
I thought it was like not that bad of a show. Like, I thought it was pretty entertaining.
Agreed. 100%. Like, I was fully entertained. It moves quickly. The scenes aren't like super drawn out or like some of the Kardashian storylines. Like it moves pretty quickly and all the characters are really funny or like Jeremy Shady. And yeah, I feel like there's a lot of nuggets. There's a lot of one-liners. Yeah, yes. I'm surprised.
You know what was hilarious? When Ali picks up the sauce and she's like, jerk chicken. What? Ew. She's like, what is that? That's for dogs. And Tina's like, no, you're thinking of beef jerky, honey.
That was so funny.
First of all, that was so funny.
Like,
it's one thing that she doesn't know what the sauce is, but beef jerky is not like just for dogs. Like, people eat beef jerky all the time.
Like, what are you both talking
about? And Kay, just wait, what sauce was it that they couldn't find that Cody liked? And so she just swapped it for jerk sauce and she was like, he'll never know. Like, I can't remember what it was, but I was like, that it was like something that was completely different.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was like teriyaki or something like that. And she's like, we just swapped it for jerk sauce. I was like, that makes no sense, but like, whatever.
Yeah. I also, the Allie moment that I like was kind of shocked by is when they're in the car and she insists on doing her nails and Dean is literally like coughing and coughing and coughing and
sneezing.
And she's just like, I have to do it, mom. And the grandma is like, Allie, can't you do that at another time? And she just refuses. Like, she doesn't even care that her mom's coughing.
I know. And she's painting her nails like jet black. It's actually funny because this was another thing that I was thinking about is like how much my style was like Ali Lohan's. Like, I had the thickest eyeliner, the thickest bangs, and I wore black nail polish. But we weren't like emo kids or anything like that. That was just like, I guess, the look.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just so funny how she was constantly painting her nails black, like in the car, on her bed. Like, I'm like, this is so like, these are the worst places you could be painting your nails.
Oh, gosh. Well, those Lohans, they just are the gift that keeps on giving, you know?
Truly. They truly are.
Yes. I cannot wait to see what happens next. Well, I guess what happens next is Lindsay's having a baby.
Yeah. I'm so excited for her. And it seems, again, that the family is doing really well. So I'm just – and, like, have got their shit together. So
yeah,
I'm so stoked for them.
Yeah, stay away from the reality shows, even though I would love to see one at this point. But
yeah, me too. Me too. But for their sake, like, stay away.
Yeah. Okay. So do you want to tell my subscribers where they can find you and follow you?
Yeah, of course. You can find me on socials at RTPP Podcast, and you can find my podcast, Ready to Be Petty, on all podcast platforms.
Yes, and I did an episode of it last year, so that could be your gateway
drug. Yes, yes, your gateway drug. And then Leah also joined me for a Patreon episode, which was really fun. I feel like we have to do, like, one of these days a part two, because I feel like there's so many more people that we could have talked about. But
so many.
Yeah, it was super, super fun.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me tonight. This was amazing. I love talking about this with you, and maybe we'll have to do a part two as well if we find those other episodes.
Yes, please. I would love that, because it's actually funny. I watched them throughout this week and I was like really upset when I couldn't find the last three.
I know. I'm like, I want to know what happened.
Same. And like, I have a vague recollection just because, again, I did watch these, but it's like, how many years ago was that? Like 15. So I'm like, anything I am referencing and I'm pulling out of like my ass from like 15 years ago.
Well, thank you guys for listening. Thank you so much for being Patreon subscribers. As always, if you guys have any requests or anything like that, I always check my Patreon messages before anything else. So let me know what you want to see next and let us know what you thought of the episode. Thanks, everybody. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Ashley and Jessicast. I'm your host, Leah Russo. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Capria Moon. That's at CapriaMoon. And follow the podcast at Ashley and Jessicast on Instagram and at Ashley Jessicast on Twitter. Please let me know your thoughts on the show. I would absolutely love to hear. AshleyandJessicast@gmail.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. See you next time.